We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Well, a very pleasant good afternoon to you. This is Patrick Timpone, and you've got OneRadioNetwork.com. And the reason you just see my picture and I'm still is because I can talk and not move at this... No. Is it because my camera interface was having a bad hair day this morning. The camera wasn't happening, so whatever. But we're working on it. Who cares? You've seen enough of me anyway. My name is Patrick Timpone, and you have the red pill. You can just grab it right there from your computer. Get right there. And take the red pill, and you won't get high from it. You won't get wacky. But if you smoke wacky tobacco and stuff like that, you could possibly get high, or you could get healed. We have an interesting fellow, and he's a doctor, and he's been around for a long time. And we had him on the show years ago, internal medicine doc, and he's one of the world's leading authorities on dosed cannabis medicine, over 35 years experience in internal medicine. I think he graduated way up there in his class at UCLA, and now he's dealing in... hello, Dr. Frankel, Dr. Alan Frankel. Nice to have you here, Doc.
Thanks for inviting me back. It shouldn't take so many years, though.
I know. What's up with that? You know, what's up with that? Tell folks about your sweatshirt.
Oh, my sweatshirt.
Yeah.
This is a guy named William O'Shaughnessy, who lived in the 1850s, and he learned about hemp and cannabis and brought it to the University of Ohio in 1850.
Wow.
And the first university lecture on cannabis was in 1850, and I don't think they had the T-shirts made yet.
But, probably not.
Anyway, I like it, and it's a good excuse to wear a casual T-shirt.
Exactly. And you're in Playa Vista, California, right? Playa Vista?
Yes.
Out there on the left coast, so they must like you if you're into cannabis, right?
I think some of the people like me. I mean, should we do an inventory?
Yeah, we could do it. You know, I'm just thinking 1850. I mean, that's before the Civil War. I wonder if Abe printed greenbacks on hemp. No, maybe. No, probably not.
You know, I think yes.
Really?
I mean, hemp was used for everything then. Even in the early World War II, there was a Navy film made that was labeled Hemp for Victory. This was right when they were trying to take it and make it illegal. You know, the Navy's making, because they need it for rope. You know, it's unbelievable what's happened. I mean, I remember, this is like 12, 13 years ago, the same evening, 5 o'clock, fighting with the medical board, I lost my medical license, but spoke to a medical board group on cannabis. So they did two people in one office. One said, come and speak to us. The other one said, you're done. You know, it was,
you're done. You're done. You're done. You're done. Well, you know, I wonder if this doctor, what was his name in 1850? I'd love to know more about that. What was his name?
O'Shaughnessy.
That's right, O'Shaughnessy, the sweatshirt. Was he talking about Dr. Frankel in 1850, medicinal things, or just the paper and the rope and building and stuff? Do you know?
Definitely, yes. I think I do know both. Absolute both. I mean, why would anybody? I don't think if you went into somebody and said, do you use more hemp or more cannabis? They look at you in 1850 and scratch their heads. It's like, why would you decide, no, it's this or this? It's everything. It's everything. Of course, it's everything.
So was medical cannabis used since then? I mean, in the 1800s and before the Rockefellers got all involved with, you know, this modern medicine we know today, and what in the early, what it was, 100 years ago, 120 years ago? Was it used, the doctor juice cannabis?
Yeah, from 1860, I wasn't born yet.
You weren't
I
born.
Didn't use it.
Me neither.
Yeah. from 1860 to 1920, the most common medicines used by far were cannabis elixirs. And you can, if you type in cannabis elixirs 1900s, you'll see all these pictures, really cool pictures of these bottles.
Really?
And yeah. So then, of course, all the laws permeating against cannabis were starting, but that was not what actually stopped the use of cannabis. What stopped the use of pharmaceutical cannabis was that it wasn't standardized. Nobody knew what was in a bottle. And so by 1920, the pharmaceuticals had stopped using cannabis, and it took till like 1935 to make it. Still, they had to work on making it illegal, even though nobody was using it.
So they made it illegal because it was good and they couldn't patent it? Why didn't they just start to selling it to people, make it a pharmaceutical and just sell it? Why did they want to make it illegal?
They couldn't standardize it.
What do you mean?
Believe me.
What does that mean?
In other words, what that means is, let's say you've got a bunch of plants,
right,
and you're extracting oils from them, that each time you do it, it's going to be about the same.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't consistent enough. That was the issue. And I've had kind of funny dreams where I go back with my gas chromatography machine to 1920 and, get it all standardized then, rather than had to wait till now to get it standardized. What's really remarkable is standardization. And I mean, I don't mean to brag, but nobody was standardizing even dosing in modern cannabis until we started doing it. And I got into a lot of trouble. Everybody was getting me into trouble, and including doctors who felt that this shouldn't be our place, you know, to help create medicines. And of course it should be our place. I mean, that's why I'm wearing a t-shirt. And medical scientists aren't going to be doing it, nobody else is going to be doing it, nothing is happening. And still, most of what's going on today is terribly dosed. There's no, real knowledge of
sure
consistency. You know, people are still using sativa and indica and
who knows,
things that are just not helpful.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to get into all that. That's fascinating. So back then, what they were just somehow liquefying, do a cannabis kind of an oil thing, and they were giving it to patients for what, Doc? All kinds of different ailments?
Everything.
Wow.
Everything. I should have thought ahead of time. I'm going to get some pictures that I could share on the screen.
Yeah, cool. Everything.
It's pretty amazing.
So talk to us like we're a young child or a golden retriever. That's the way we like to do it. What essentially are these cannabinoid things doing in the body? Do we know?
Yeah, I mean, cannabis has been around for 25.3 million years. You know, when people talk about everything about, it's been around 4,000 years, this is 4,000 years, it's because that's when they learned how to write. You know, but all these events are much, much, much older. I think the majority of cannabis over the majority of millions of years that was being used by man, it was the leaves, because they didn't have control of fire anyway, so they didn't know what to do with it.
Uh-huh.
But eating cannabis, there's a company, I just met with this company, and they were talking to me how they're going to make their raw, leafy, whatever, but they're going to be growing these little cannabis plants at every table. It's
well,
I don't
know. So you think way, way back, they were just using the leaves, smashing it up, or chewing, doing something kind of like an herb, and giving it to people. That's what is it, best you can like tell?
Not like an herb. I mean, exactly.
It is like an herb.
It is. If they had juice masters, they could have just put the leaves into juice masters. And the one of the most healthy molecules, and if we now either people eat raw or we make it into oil, is THCA. If this is a cannabis plant here,
yes, sir.
The raw plant is THC acid, and which I think is much more therapeutic than THC. We're learning a number of new conditions that we're able to treat with THCA. It's exciting. I mean, it gets. You'd think I'd get bored with it by now, but it's been 15 years, and I like it.
You've been working with it 15 years, and where did they take your doctor's license away?
Well, they took it away. Finally, they said, and this is exactly a quote online, Dr. Frankel is cheerful, confident. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. Dr. Frankel is cheerful, confident, and optimistic, period. These are grossly inappropriate, considering his license is being threatened by the medical board, period. I believe this means he's psychotic.
Really? No, come on.
Yeah.
They didn't. Right.
Look, absolutely. I mean, now it seems like 9 years ago. it was unbelievable. They lost very badly. Really badly.
What do you mean, sir?
That the judge just you know rammed down their throats. And then you want to hear something really interesting. About 3 or 4 years ago, which was a few years after my probation was done, I get a call from my probation officer, and he says he's opening up a cannabis business and wants to know if I would join him.
Oh, so yeah. Probation, you actually were convicted of a felony?
No. It's not a civil crime. It's a medical
board. Medical board thing.
It makes it sound worse, though, so it's good.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. So THCA is different from if you just buy some wacky tobacco off the street and smoke it. Huh?
No. It's different. If you just buy some weed off the street, and you've not smoked it yet, you've not heated it, it's THCA.
In the leaves?
In the leaves or the buds.
Or the buds?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, if it's a CBD plant, then it'll be CBDA. And every cannabinoid, like a let's say about 130 major cannabinoids, every one comes in an acid form. And then you heat it and it comes. Now, to me, it's like a curious question is, how did it evolve? How did the heated version evolve when people couldn't make fire?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to smoke it without fire.
Yeah, actually, you know what you want to hear? This is hysterical. This is absolutely true. I see a lot of seizure kids, and not so much anymore will they come up to me, but they'll come up to me and they said, we can see how you could get them to inhale, but how we can see how they can get them to exhale. How do you get them to inhale? And I'm looking at them saying, they're really serious that we're having kids smoke weed. I mean, it's
not good, right? So,
not yet.
So let's see. If you just have a regular seeds of indica or sativa and these other things that you hear about, and you grow them, and then you would just eat the plant, the buds, without heating them, you're going to get healing properties, THCA?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And what I tell people, for all the patients that we have that are, you know, live in the country and they have acne, they're always growing, mm-hmm. you know, unlimited number of plants. I tell them to do both. You know, I mean, if they got all of it. But the THCA, I mean, to be able to have access to so many plants of THCA, I would encourage anybody to eat the plant.
And
maybe that could be a good t-shirt.
Yeah. So in my understanding then, you don't get euphoric kind of things when you just don't heat it, correct?
Correct, sir.
Wow, man. See, I want some of that because I don't like to get, I just don't, I can get stoned on CBD. I mean, I take a little CBD and I get whacked and I don't like it. You know, it's just too much for me. You know, I'm crazy anyway. So we could grow plants, just get some seeds and then just eat the plants. Just eat the leaves.
Yeah.
Just eat the leaves.
Like salad.
Like
really,
salad.
Really, really healthy salad.
So what is it, yeah. What is it doing for you? What is it doing in the body? Do we know? Like we're just eating the leaves and the buds, just eating them without.
Just to start with, you have all the benefits of the leaves of healthy organic plants, but you also have, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay, good. But you, in addition, have molecules like THCA, which, I mean, the first really curious thing that I found out about THCA that I mean, really scratching my head about was a patient who, remember, he grew, he had a little grow at home, and I gave him starters, and he would, you know, take them home, and and he used it, you know, for THCA, and we found out from him that THCA would eliminate the urinary frequency of the prostate in the male or the bladder in the female. So we have, and now, not, I mean, most people are using capsules or tinctures of THCA, but just using a plain plant is just absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's probably, how can it not be better, really?
Sure.
I mean, But with women with bladder, urinary bladder frequency and urgency, and men, I mean, you've probably met a couple of men, and I mean, one of the common complaints is, you know, I'm getting up 5 times a night, and I'm not emptying, and blah, blah, blah. THCA takes care of, that's one of the many things THCA takes care of.
Is that right?
I mean, I am sitting, so I could sit here probably for half an hour and talk about the neurological benefits of THCA and the number of diseases that we're able to reverse. It's remarkable.
So it's really the neurological remarkable. Benefits. So it's working the nerves, the body, the brain, nerves, kind of the central nervous system, sympathetic system. Do we know?
Both central nervous system and peripheral nervous system. Hmm. It's definitely both.
Wow. Can you actually?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Can you actually buy THC capsules that are just not heated up, and it would be, you wouldn't have to grow all these plants, which could take a lot of time and energy and whatever?
There's also places that sell high quality organic THCA extracted from the plant. So there's, you know, lots of ways of getting it. I'm kind of a nerd in a way that I don't like to tell people on a show like this where to go get the medicine because, you know, I feel like then it comes across as I'm supporting that one particular place. But then that just might be the place we're using this week. So, but obviously after the show or some other time, just give me a ring if you're interested.
Yeah, well, we've already got 3 emails. Or to get the THCA. So, yeah, you're reading our listeners' minds. They want to know where to get some. So, how many states is it legal to sell THCA? Do we know? A lot? Maybe.
Pretty much all.
Pretty much?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, but for people who are looking to get THCA, I mean,
yeah,
the simplest, cheapest way to do it is to get a bunch of leaves or grind them up and fill them with put them in capsules and be done.
That's the easy way to do it.
And you've got, yeah, well, certainly the cheapest way to do it.
Sure.
And I don't, look, you're starting with whole plant leaves or buds, and then you're trying to extract THC. How, How is it possible that you don't mess some stuff up while you're extracting?
Sure.
And for sure, what people, I've been doing this, again, as you know, a long time. It is messed up when you're extracting. I mean, you can do a pretty good job, and it's good enough. But those aren't the words you want to really hear. You want to hear it's like as good as the original plant. And the only thing that I know that's as good as the original plant is the original plant.
The original plant?
So, yeah. The plant, the actual, you know, buds and capsules.
Here's one for you from George. Wants to know, okay, I'm already sold. I'm going to grow some cannabis. What seeds should I start with? Which kind of seeds?
Just THC.
Oh, just that's what it's called?
Well, you know, there's 100 different seeds you can get, and it doesn't matter whether it's a sativa, indica, and now planting at this time of year, the plants. I mean, try get rid of the males; they'll just kind of butt up your females. But other than that, this is a perfect time of year to grow a bunch of leaves, and flower, and let them all go to flower too. Then you can then weigh out the flower and find out how many milligrams of THCA you're using. I have a number of patients. I have one set of brothers, and I still don't understand why they do this, but they grow their plants upside down. And it's whenever I go over there, it's like, it cracks me up. It's like, why are you doing
this? So if you plant some plants now and you're after THCA, which you say is the good stuff that you don't get whacked out on, how long does it take before you would be grinding them up and eating them from now, say, about?
Two and a half months.
Is that it? Wow.
You'll have a lot of them. Nope. You'll have a lot of them.
So I'm thinking.
And basically.
I'm thinking it's almost like this is a God thing that's been around for thousands of years, just another herb in paradise, but somehow
25 million years.
So God was pretty smart and put these things out there to help us, but then somewhere along the line, somebody figured out to smoke them, and then we started getting wacky, and then it started being called wacky tobacco, and then it all went downhill from there.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say downhill. Yeah, I mean, it depends how it's used, how much it's used, what the dosing it's used, what it's used for.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we use a lot of THC. I use a lot of THC in the autistic spectrum kids that I see and the seizure kids because it works and it works differently in kids than it does in adults. But the question that I wanted to get to is we have inside of us this endocannabinoid system, which mimics the plant. Actually, in fact, the plant mimics the endocannabinoid system. I mean, although the cannabis plant is 25 million years old,
wow,
the endocannabinoid system inside of us is 1.2 billion years old. And the plant and eventually evolved to match the receptors inside the cannabis plant that we have. But, and again, 25,000 years is a long time, but 1.2 billion years of the endocannabinoid. This means that fish, goldfish, and by the way, when people are using cannabis rectally, the only people I know benefiting are goldfish. I mean, it doesn't get absorbed. So, but even fish have cannabinoid receptors.
So we have had cannabinoid receptors for millions of years, we humanoids, and then these cannabinoid receptors, they keep changing and evolving for what we need, maybe? Because they're smart?
Yes.
Whoa.
Because they're smart. Because they're really smart. The CBD, for example. And to me, I mean, I've been a doctor for a long, long time, and I've never heard of this. And it is nowhere else that I know of in nature. CBD has 500 receptor sites in the human being. 500 receptor sites.
CBD. I mean, 500 receptors. Whoa.
Receptor sites. And so it's like, well, why is that important? That's important because if you have 500 receptor sites as opposed to like one serotonin site, the odds of you're getting sick from some complication of that site is pretty low. I mean, 500 sites protects you. And the same similar thing with CBD and going to the liver, that when it's whole plant cannabis CBD, as it's going through the liver, it starts sending a signal, we need more metabolites, you know, more P450 metabolites. And if you try that with hemp CBD, it doesn't do it. It doesn't have the same signaling because it hasn't been evolving the same way. I mean, the stuff is it's very interesting. The thing that's just kills me is that, and I know money is money and money speaks everything, but it's just not my thing in that way. But the people are going after isolate CBD and distillate CBD, and they're making a lot more money on it, but it's not good medicine. I mean, it's just not good medicine to you. And I would discourage people from using it.
So, yeah, there's a lot of fancy CBDs being sold out there saying this, and it costs a lot of money, $75 for a little bottle. And things like that.
Right.
So you're saying that you could just get your basic CBD and get all the benefits without spending that much money?
Well, actually, the per milligram, the hemp CBD is more expensive.
It just is. It just is.
Yeah. But whole plant CBD, I mean, the people that I work with that help get the oils that will go into the various products. I mean, we're always after the whole plant organic oils that are gooey and sticky and everything, which exactly is what this should be. I mean, who should say, oh, that oil's too sticky? I mean, what's the concept there? The oil being too sticky? I don't think that's possible. The oil is sticky.
It's supposed to be sticky. It's supposed to be sticky.
And the cannabis plant, the whole plant, that sticky mess, you can test every gram of it. And the quality of the medicine is dramatically better. I mean, it's not even close.
We're talking with Dr. Alan Frankel. His website is greenbridgemed.com, right, Doc? Greenbridgemed.com about cannabis. And I have a lot of questions here, and we'll get into CBD. Doc, can you stay right there, and I'm going to sell a couple things here? See if I can make a living. That's what we do here. We promote some things, and that's what we do. And here's one. Yeah. This conversation took place 6 years ago with the brilliant Dr. Patrick Flanagan. Is there any trick to remembering dream experiences? And we've had so many people that are remembering more and more vivid dreams after being on the organic sulfur.
Yeah.
What is going on there?
Well, the first thing that happens with the organic sulfur is that when your body gets cleansed to a certain point, you start dreaming in full technicolor. Most people don't dream in color. They dream in black and white and don't remember their dreams at all. And the organic sulfur starts cleansing the brain, and the pineal gland starts operating, and suddenly the first thing people do is they have these vivid dreams in color.
Well, that's just one of the benefits with our organic sulfur. It's totally pure. Very few are out there that are pure as ours is. You can click an order anytime. OneRadioNetwork.com. If you like more than 4 pounds, email me for 10% or maybe more discount, depending. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com, and thanks for your support. We ship them all over the world, and once again, yeah, more than 4 pounds, just shoot me an email, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We're shipping 10 pounds to Canada tomorrow. People get 10 pounds at a time. I guess, you know, they just kind of spread it around to family and friends. It's a real deal. It's a pure sulfur. It costs a little more than most of them, but it doesn't have any adjuvants or tagalongs or silicone dioxide and things like that. I've known Brandon Amalani with Shen Blossom forever. He used to work with Daniel Vitalis, and as you know, one of our trademarks on One Radio Network is Know the Source, and it is a trademark with the trademark company places in Washington, D.C. And so we know the people that we that make the products that we promote, and that's how we earn our living here. Certainly don't earn it talking, because I don't know what I'm talking about, but you know what I mean. And so Brandon, he runs Shen Blossom. He's also the fellow that brought in and brings in the Blue Shield, the wonderful device that helps to your body to deal much better with 5G and stuff like that. It works on the cells in the body. But Brandon's site, Shen Blossom, is just a really, really wonderful products. Just all in Myron glass, medicinal mushrooms, 50-year-old yellow, 50-year-old ginseng. You know, this is he's really into it. He has Ho Shu Wu that takes, I think, 25 days to make using organic sake. Just very high level, high quality. I'm really into his product called Total Nutrition Protein. It's an advanced protein nutritional supplement that I'm using to do smoothies with the colostrum and fruit and bee pollen I like to do. Check out these ingredients. You're going to love this one. Okay. Bamboo pith and leaf. Pinion nut. Plantain, nettles, beet tops and root, cassio, chlorella, spirulina, nashi sabotine, aloe, pear tops, pumpkin seed concentrate, sesame seed, quinoa seed, hemp seed, tamago seed, azuki bean, sprouts, dandelion, and on and on and on. You know, just apple pectin, chickweed, purslane, yellow dock. This is in a nutritional little thing that you can put the powder in there and make a smoothie. Wow. It's called Total Nutrition Protein. You gotta live. I mean, I'm literally living on this and just doing fruit smoothies, and it's pretty much what I'm living on these days. Feel better than ever. Pretty cool. This is Shen Blossom. It's on our website on OneRadioNetwork.com. Check around. He has a lot of great things there. Just shop around and fill up your cart and party down. Party down.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
We are talking with Dr. Alan Franco. He is, doing cannabis work there. And so I'm curious, what is the difference? And you say you work with some of the autistic kids with nervous and these kinds of things, right? Problems and what's the term when they, seizures and things like that? Can you...
Yeah, I mean, most of the autistic kids don't have seizures, but certainly there are a number that have both, just to make it tougher for the parents.
Yeah, and you can help them with cannabis product that they don't get stoned on, right?
Well, you know what? I'm a little funny about the stone.
That's not a good term. Okay, let's call it. What's the best term?
I use the word stony, even when I'm talking medically because I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, I know.
But the point is, these kids are using a fair amount, a lot of them anyway, are using a fair dose of THC, but they're not getting stoned.
Huh.
I mean, there's two very different issues, whether it's an adult or a child. You can use THC in a way... where people do not get stoned, or you can use it in a way that people get very stoned.
Sure.
But these kids are using, in particular, and I feel more comfortable doing it this way, a combination, it's a one-to-one of CBD and THC.
I see.
And almost all the time, if I don't start them with some THC, their acting out and aggression doesn't get better.
Interesting.
So it's really important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. THCA is also becoming a big deal for these kids.
So CBD is just a component in the cannabis plant. Is that correct?
Yeah, but so is THC.
So is THC.
You know, component in some cannabis plants. Yeah. And whether it's a major component or a minor component is determined by the genetics of the plant.
So why is CBD such the rage and everybody and their brother and sisters making it? What's going on?
Because there's money to be made, and you can order CBD by the kilogram and have somebody dilute it into MCT oil and fill bottles from it, and you're done. And that's competing with a whole plant cannabis product where they're growing the plant, they're taking buds, they're extracting the oil, I mean, doing the whole thing. It's a very, very different. You can't do it for the same amount of money. Also, you have to grow the plant if you're doing it
right.
The whole plant.
Right, yeah.
To me, I'm not an isolate guy. I'm an isolate pain in the ass.
And after all these years, you're figuring out that the whole plant that God just, angels put there, that's the deal.
That's it. That's the magic. There's no question about it. And we're going to start seeing, I think I can talk about this for a moment without breaking the law. I always wondered what my next plant was going to be.
Yeah.
That I'd be working. Now it's clear it's psilocybin. I mean, that is one hell of an interesting plant.
You're talking about magic mushrooms? Yeah. Psilocybin?
Yeah.
That's what we used to call them when we were kids, magic mushrooms. Whoa. I've read that they're actually doing little homeopathic doses of psilocybin in places like Costa Rica and having some interesting results.
Well, it's starting to happen here too.
Yeah, really?
But, yeah. Look, it's legal in a few states. Well, in Oregon, everything's legal. You can do anything in Oregon.
Yeah, except raise a cow. These people are crazy.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, most of them.
That's right. You could do psilocybin and THC, but you can't have a cow. Don't you know? Meat's bad for you. Jeez.
That's funny.
I know. So these mushrooms, crazy. Wow. But mushrooms, boy, I had mushrooms a few times 40 years ago. I didn't even know what planet I was on. So you must be talking about little baby doses of psilocybin, huh?
Yeah, we kind of now know what dosing from happening. So, but I mean, I'm an novice, and I'm just starting to learn.
To learn about
why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, interesting that nature, God, angels, whatever you want to call it, Dr. Frankel, have these things out there for us. Isn't it interesting?
All these drugs and hallucinogens and everything are given to us because everything else isn't quite good enough. If everything else were perfect, we wouldn't have to supplement it with anything.
Yeah.
But then you pick up something like a psilocybin mushroom, and it's not like there's some subtle little change. I mean, there's a really, really big change from it. And the perception and mood.
And everything, yeah. It's yeah. So I guess you could see my limited experience, and it's been many, many years. It was under right conditions with maybe a teacher to help explain what's going on. They could be used ceremonially, couldn't they, for some kind of, spiritual growth, if you will, if it helps you to see reality a little bit more, how we create reality, I guess.
The thing that I've seen for most patients where I've taken in, that'd be terrible. I can't just give prescription for mushrooms.
Sure.
Right? I have to do it more subtly than that. But patients can look up stuff. They can then try stuff, and then they can report back. And also, there's now national studies on psilocybin dealing with the existential fear of death and fear and depression around death.
Sure.
Pretty much removes it. That's going to be very hard to stop somebody from doing.
It's
pretty silly.
I was blessed with an experience in the tunnel. In that tunnel, the tunnel, I guess there's a lot of tunnels with the bright light, the light 40 years ago just happened. And boy, I want you to understand that you are soul. You're not the body. You're not the mind. And you experience it. It is no, you're not going to die. I mean, it's just like, whoa, okay. So what can hurt you, right? What can hurt you? I was so blessed to have that experience. Wow.
No harm. No harm. No harm, no foul.
No harm, no foul.
Yeah, once a year I can come on the show with a different drug. Otherwise, you'll get kind of bored just talking about cannabis.
Cannabis, yeah. What's the So which states are the psilocybin things legal?
Three or four.
Uh-huh. Oregon
yeah.
is one.
Oregon, Washington, Colorado, and one other. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that once I start really talking about psilocybin, nobody will give a shit about cannabis anymore.
That's right. Do we know what the molecules, Dr. Fanker, or what's doing as far as healing? Do we know much about those?
Yeah, psilocin and psilocybin. And psilocin is the actual most active molecule.
Psilocin.
And which is why psilocin. But psilocybin will be converted to psilocin in the body. But a lot of people, when they take mushrooms, they just grind up some of the mushrooms and put them in a hot tea and add some lemon and honey.
Yeah.
And it appears better absorption that way.
How do you spell psilocin?
I don't know.
So,
P-S.
So are they, would there be a way then, I guess, would it just be the dosage as far as the psilocybin to take without, getting too wacko, getting too out of your mind? Yeah. I know those things. Sometimes it's tough to turn them off. Let's see. We got a couple more emails for you. Let's see here. Okay, it's not fair that you're having this man on and he won't tell us where we can get some of this stuff. Well, can I tell you, Joe? What can I tell you? You know, he gets to do what he wants to do.
Which is he talking about THCA?
I think he's talking about the THCA, yeah. I think. I don't know. He doesn't.
Give me a second. Let me see how.
Can you do something gracefully without being too illegal?
Yeah, you know, look up Greenbridge Labs.
Okay.
.com.
Okay. Oh, that's your website. That's your main website. Oh, no. Oh, Greenbridge Labs, not Med. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
It's Statewide Labs is the right name.
Statewidelabs.com?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, I messed up.
Good. Go there. See what you see.
I didn't send you there.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't send you there. Doc didn't send you. I don't know who's. I think it was the NSA sent him there. It wasn't us, man. We didn't have nothing to do with it. Yeah, this is from Beverly. It sounds amazing. Is it difficult to grow cannabis? She wants to know. Difficult to grow.
It's like anything else. When you do it one time, it's really, really difficult.
Figure it out.
You start doing it 5-6 times. It gets. I mean, the first time I grew, which was about 9-10 years ago, I was actually told by a group of people that it was illegal for doctors to grow cannabis.
Really?
It was like, are you kidding? Anyway, I evolved. Very good grower and developed a lot of strains and I find growing fun.
Yeah. So does it require a certain amount of sun, 6 to 8 hours of sun every day?
Yeah, and maybe a little bit more at some point during the summer.
Uh-huh.
If the sun exposure goes much below 12, it'll just flower.
I see. Uh-huh. So you said just a few months, though. I remember my smoking days, but I never grew it. I thought that in the fall is when they bud it out, and that's when you did all the, you know.
Right. It basically is 6-7 months.
I see. Yeah. So you're just taking these buds that we used to pay big money for and just grinding those little guys up and eating them, right? Just eating them.
That's one of the ways we do it.
Yeah.
Every day. Yep. And also in California, if a doctor says, I want you to do a nutritional shake, they don't flip out. They say, cool. You know, it's all, this is, I can get away with all this stuff in California with nobody and people liking it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
I love the growing part of it.
In California, do you all have many, many places, legal places where people can go in and pretty much buy whatever they want in the regard of the cannabis plant? Pretty much.
Yeah, getting recreational medicine, very simple. Getting really good medical medicine is difficult anywhere in the country.
Really? Why is that?
That's why. Because not that many people care. And there has to be somebody that's pushing the development and sales of the medical cannabis for it to happen. I mean, honestly, that became a huge part of what I did. Just pushing it through. And if there's no other doctor in the state, it's just not going to happen.
I see.
They don't know what to use it for. Why would they recommend THCA if they don't know what to even recommend it? And that's just one doctor. So that's
the big difference. When you say medical cannabis, you're talking about THCA, the stuff that hasn't been cooked, pretty much?
No. I'm talking about medicine that's dosed by the milligram. That it's not, people just don't make the stuff up and have it in gummy bears. It's in dosed capsules, dosed tinctures. So it's dosed by the milligram. So that,
I see.
To me, that has to be done by somebody who knows how to dose. But it's definitely not THC versus CBD. They're all very involved, and all of them are important medically. And the ability of a medicine to make somebody stone doesn't necessarily mean it's recreational. They might have overdone it.
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of people who need a fair amount of THC to deal with pain syndrome. So, to me, it's the difference. Medical means you know what that you're doing. I have an idea of what that does. Recreational, it's like, have another gummy bear.
So most of the places are, I shouldn't assume, but am I assuming that a lot of the places in California are most, they're just recreational, like going to a bar and getting alcohol, that's what they are. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere in the country, pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I'm nervous about what's going to happen to medical cannabis.
I'm sorry. Repeat, please. Yeah. You're concerned.
I'm nervous about what's going to happen with medical cannabis if there aren't more people available to support it.
But because all the recreational stuff is just going to screw it up because people are they abusing it and whatever.
And because people don't know what to do with dosing medical cannabis. I mean, very few doctors know what they're doing at all, remotely know what they're doing.
So it's like anything else. Well, what's that famous line, Dr. Frankel? Is the dose? What is there in medicine? It's something about, what is it?
Dosing is everything. Yeah.
So
for a patient to know, I wouldn't expect them. I would hope by now, so many years into medical cannabis, that people would know how to dose it and what to dose it for. Mm-hmm. But it's not there.
Mm-hmm. And just this is a broad question, but in general, when you're working with someone that has some kind of condition with medical cannabis, are you doing it generally ongoing every day or a couple times a week? I guess it just depends on the issue.
I'm almost always ongoing.
Ongoing, huh?
Yeah. It's a treatment plan that has certain cannabinoids, certain oils, certain terpenes that they take on a predetermined schedule that I write out for them.
I see.
It's like real medicine.
It's like real medicine.
That's how we learned how to do this. I mean, it took a long time. I mean, it took years, years and years.
Yeah.
There was no book that said, well, this is what you do. And that's what I should do is write the book.
And teach people how to do it. This is from Marvin. Oh, this is interesting. I have one issue, but it's driving me crazy. Sleep. Meditate, yoga, just not happening. I don't know what to do. Is there anything I can use cannabis to do that for sleep?
A little bit of a broad question, though, for a call like this. But just in general, if somebody has an issue staying asleep, using CBD during the day is the best thing to do.
During the day.
So you might consider using 5 or 10 milligrams of CBD during the day, a couple, three times, and then in the evening do like a 1-to-1 CBD THC.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not enough time in a call like
sure,
this.
Sure, sure. Is that quieting down the nervous system or raising the parasympathetic somehow?
It's lowering the cortisol level.
Ah, lowering the cortisol level. Gotcha.
And I have bad news, and I have to get ready for the next patient, a real patient.
Like a real patient. Well, that's not bad news. You've been great. This has been fun. We want to have you back and do some more stuff. We'll keep in touch with you. Thanks a lot for your work. And it is greenbridgemed.com if you'd like to visit his website, Dr. Alan Frankel. Doc, thanks a lot for being here. Love your T-shirt, and we'll come visit sometime.
That'd be great.
Thank you,
thanks
sir.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, may the blessings be. Bye. Take care. That's great.
Yeah.
He's fun, huh? Well, we learned a lot, didn't we? Yeah, man. Always learn a lot from people who know what they're doing. Can't believe it's been that long since we had Dr. Frankel on. Alan Frankel, medical cannabis. Also known as Wacky Tobacco. But, see, I didn't know about THCA, right? THCA? Time to grow some plants and juice it up. Boy, I bet you'd need a lot of plants to juice, right? Okay. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. Penny Kelly is going to be here tomorrow, 10 o'clock. That'll be Wednesday, the 12th of May, 10 o'clock Central Time. And we're going to have some fun with her. She's a very interesting lady. And we got a couple little surprises, maybe two, this week. My camera mechanism thing wasn't happening this morning, so that's why I'm not on camera. But you know what I look like. I got my little red pill there. We'll get that going sometime real soon. I love you guys. Thank you for your ongoing support. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help, okay, with anything. That's why I'm here. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Take care. May the blessings be.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.